Thou art sorrowful and worthy of tears, O Virgin Mary, standing near the cross of the Lord Jesus, thy Son, the Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear children, today is the feast of the seven sorrows of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And to tell how grieving Mary lets herself to suffer so that her children, that is us, might receive joy and heaven, I'll tell you a story how she gave joy to another sorrowing mother. The story takes place about 100 years ago at the end of so-called Second Balkan War when Bulgaria attacked Greece. The king and queen, with all the dignitaries, were gathered to the Athens Metropolitan Church for the Mass said in thanksgiving for peace. When the priest asked the people to pray for the faithful departed, sobs broke from the black-robed women as they thought their beloved sons, brothers, and husbands lying in their graves. One of the attendants in the church was named Anna Frankoudis. She was in sorrow because her son, named Francis, had been hanged as a traitor few weeks ago. Francis had been put to military trial, found guilty of plotting with the Bulgarians to betray Greece, and had been hanged. His dishonored body had been flung into a ditch, and his grave was unmarked, shunned, and accursed by men. In this church, the women, as is usual in Eastern churches, were separated from men in the left side of the church, and before them was a large icon of the Mother of Sorrows. The image showed Mary gazing in anguish at the thorn-crowned head of the dead Jesus lying against her knees. A sword pierced her heart, her hands were raised to heaven. Around the painting was the inscription, "O all ye who pass by, look and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow." Anna was thinking that her sorrow was greater than Virgin Mary's, because Mary had given birth to the Savior of men, while she had given birth to the traitor of the fatherland. Anna had never asked for wealth or glory or long life for her only son Francis. She had only prayed that he might be strong and God-fearing, serving his country in all honor. And yet now he lay in a traitor's grave. Anna's grief was made even greater when she watched her sister Irene, also in the church. Irene's son Paul, Francis's cousin, had fallen gloriously on the field of battle, leading a charge against the Bulgarians. Now she prayed there in the same church as Anna, with her loving husband, her three strong boys, her little grandchild, Paul's baby son in his cradle at home, and her hero son lying in his honored, flower-decked grave. After the Mass was over, Anna stood bitter in front of the sorrowful mother and thought how Mary had spent her life in poverty and distress, without where to lay her head. She had been driven from the doors of men to seek refuge among the beasts of the field. She had given birth her son Jesus in the poverty of a stable, and had laid him in a lowly manger amid the cattle. She had risen and fled with him into distant Egypt before the terrors of the massacre of the innocents. 7 weary years of exile and homelessness followed, then the return to Nazareth with its years of poverty, obscurity, and humble toil, the prophecy of "Sword of sorrow will pierce thy heart," always in her ears. Later had come separation from her beloved son. She had seen him misunderstood, persecuted, followed only by the poor, the ignorant, and the sinful. She had seen him condemned as a criminal and put to torture and shameful death. She had stood at the foot of his cross and had heard him reviled by the mob. She had received his dead, broken body in her arms. She had laid him in the tomb amid the terrors of earthquake and darkness. Anna thought all this, and thought that truly this woman had known every mortal anguish except that of sin. Oh, and that was the supreme difference. The crucified Son of Mary had been the innocent Lamb of God. So Anna prayed to her, "Sorrowful mother, if I might only know, as you knew, that my son was innocent, then I could bear my grief. The world might still hold him guilty, but I would no longer complain. Make my sorrow like unto your sorrow, and I will ask for no greater joy." Lastly, before she left the church, Anna sighed, "God is all merciful. He alone knows what passed in the heart of my unhappy son. He does not judge as men judge. Francis, my little boy, thy mother loves thee still. Her breast is still thy shelter." When Anna returned home, her maid told her that an officer of the army was waiting her. It was a general who had been the friend of her husband and who had been in the battlefield at the same time of her son's arrest and condemnation. The general spoke, "I have come to right a great wrong. Francis was the true son of his father and mother. You gave to your country a hero." The general told that at the end of the war, the colonel in charge of Paul's regiment had been wounded in the battle and lied unconscious for weeks. He was now recovering in Athens and today had asked for Francis. The general had told him that Francis had been hanged as a traitor. The colonel said that was impossible, for he had placed him to lead the attack against the Bulgarians because Paul was nowhere to be found. Paul had been the one telling information to Bulgarians and betraying his country, and he was executed quickly. But because there was strong family resemblance between the cousins, when Francis came back leading his attack which saved the country, he was hanged as a traitor by mistake, and Paul was thought as the true liberator. Francis could have easily proved his innocence, but he let the men remain in their mistake to save his cousin's honor and Paul's mother, wife, and little son from shame. The colonel, who alone knew the truth, was too ill to correct the error until now. As soon as the king had heard of the mistake, he had sent the general to Anna to inform that her son was a hero, not a traitor. Her son's memory would be cleared, and his name would be honored as a hero. Hearing this, Anna fell on her knees, crying wildly, she who had not shed a tear since she first had heard the tale of dishonor. She was now weeping with joy. The cross of shame had been lifted from her heart. Through her tears, she glanced joyfully and thankfully to heaven. "Mother of sorrows, you heard my complaint," she said. "With all my grateful heart and soul, I bless you and give you thanks that my prayer is answered." "I can understand the flood of relief of joy," the general said kindly. "I know what you must have suffered. It has been a pleasure for me to lift this burden from your noble heart. And now," he added with a sigh, "now I must take your cross and lay it upon the heart of another mother in Greece." He meant Anna's sister Irene, the mother of Paul, the real traitor. "No," Anna said, "she must not be told." The general looked at her in silent astonishment. "She must not be told," she repeated. "Let things remain as they are. I would not wish even a mother of our enemies to suffer what I have suffered. The general hesitated. I don't know if the king will permit, he began. He will wish justice to be done. Listen, she cried. My son left no children to bear his name. There is none to share his shame but I, his mother alone. For the sake of Paul's young widow and little son, let matters stay as they are. Did not my boy die to save his cousin's honor? For all their sakes who bear his name, let nothing be said. It is better one should suffer than many. As for me, the mother of sorrows and her crucified Christ will be my aid. Let all remain as it is. The general looked into the shining eyes, the proudly smiling lips of the woman before him, her glorified face bathed in the peace which had been granted to her through the intercession of the mother of sorrows. Heaven bless you, Anna Frankoudis, valiant woman of Greece, the general cried, bowing his head before her. May the God of hosts sustain you. You have chosen an heroic part, and great will be your reward in heaven. So children, remember always to offer your own sorrows to the Our Lady of Sorrows, and you will never be left in anguish. If you are innocent to your troubles, she will vindicate you, and if you are guilty of sin, her son takes away them when you ask pardon. You should in your life also offer up little sacrifices of yours without complaining and without letting anybody to know about them. As Mary suffered enormously on earth, but was made Queen of Heaven in Paradise, through her intercession you will also leave all your worries to vanish with this world and be rewarded with her in heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.